This is the perfect time to start a side hustle, and this is also the perfect time to start a podcast about starting a side hustle. Kick it. The dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. This is the Living My Side Hustle podcast.
Everybody, welcome to Living My Side Hustle. We have with us today a guest who has come up with something very creative with his family and has found a gap. And as a family, they've come together to create something, a solution to something that is so annoying for parents and families, tripping over toys. They're everywhere. And we don't know what to do with these things. Let's keep them out of the landfill and give purpose for our kids to model and learn from. Our guest today, Patrick, is on the podcast. Patrick, welcome to Living My Side Hustle. Nice to have you here.
Hey, pleasure to be here, Dave.
It feels like I've already talked to you.
it's like we've done this before or something.
Right? There's something going on. I don't know. I feel like we have a connection. It's great. Tell us a little bit about where you are in the world. I'd love to start with that and maybe a little bit about your family.
Absolutely. So we are currently, my family is currently in Redding, California. So we have been here for about 6 years, originally from the Midwest, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Great Lakes and all the above, and really enjoyed that area. It's a wonderful area. The only thing I didn't like about it was the snow. I'm not built for the cold. So the West Coast has been quite a wonderful journey for me. Although I will say we're high desert here in Redding, and we're triple digits in the summer, but we still got some snow this year. So
really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did. The past 6 weeks, we've had probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 different times where we've gotten 4 to 7, maybe 8 inches here in Redding. Doesn't stick very long. However, you drive out to the mountains, I mean, they've literally had over 400 inches of precipitation. Unbelievable. Walls and walls of snow this year. So yeah, we could use it. I mean, obviously this is this area is prone to fire season, and so it's good for us to have the precipitation, but I'm looking forward to the sun.
There you go. Anything you miss about Michigan beyond the snow?
Family, friends and family. Yeah. I mean, that is obviously the most important things in our lives are people and relationships. And so we definitely that was the hardest thing about our decision to transition out here for this season. And obviously the summers in Michigan are great.
There you go. Excellent. Okay, so we're talking about living my side hustle. We're talking about anybody with something on the side. And you guys as a family came up with a unique solution to toys, cluttering the all over the house, stepping on Legos in the middle of the night, because I know that's terrible. You guys have come up with a solution for a need that you discovered in your own home. Yeah. I'd like to kind of start with how you guys settled on this and what your solution is to toy clutter and what to do with these things after they've outlived their lifetime for our kids.
Absolutely. And just to reiterate the idea of the side hustle, I mean, I've been working full-time positions. My background initially, I was a professional musician for many years. Then I worked in a faith-based community at a church for many years. Then I transitioned to telecommunications. And then I transitioned to audio, video, and lighting integration. And I've even worked general labor in construction. All of those things to keep the lights on, keep food on the table, while in the meantime, having an entrepreneurial passion, wanting to eventually replace. I mean, for me, it's a passion project. All of these ideas, I've had proprietary ideas that I wanted to pursue for many years. And sometimes it's difficult to navigate when you're working full time and trying to provide for a family, but you have this passion and this desire. So one of the things that we did as a family about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we sat down because our boys also had this entrepreneurial bug. And so they had a side hustle that they wanted to start. And the idea for them was they had a bunch of, big goals. These are toy goals, you know, airsoft guns and personal computers and you name it. Even my 8-year-old, when he wanted to, you know, purchase these toys, they're a couple $100 each. And so my wife and I thought, well, Christmas and birthdays are not going to cut it. How do we empower these guys? So we sat down and had a conversation and said, well, guys, why don't we look at, you know, what are some ways that we can help you guys make some money? You know, if it's not allowance, then what are we doing? Raking leaves, mowing lawns, washing cars, let's make a lemonade stand, let's have a garage sale, all the kind of cliche ideas. But this one idea that we had was, well, we've got a bunch of old toys laying around the house. Why don't we go ahead and gather those together and list those for sale so that you guys can make some of the money back from the toys you're not using anymore to go and get the toys that you want to get. And the whole idea sparked this conversation about the fact that my wife and I, we didn't just want to do the process for them. We wanted to actually teach them and empower them to do the process for themselves. So that's when we started having the conversation. Hey, do any other families that we know of any tools or any software or any platforms that are specifically designed to empower kids to do this? And we just couldn't find any in existence. I mean, there are great tools like Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist that do this. And we are very active on those platforms as adults. We love flipping items on those platforms. But there's just too much irrelevant content, targeted ads, inappropriate content to even consider having our 9 or 12-year-old create profiles and communicate with strangers. It's just not going to happen.
No, and that's wise. I'm glad you say that. That's that'd be one of my fears as a parent, is having some stranger pull in my driveway and my 9-year-old saying, oh, yeah, they're coming to pick up a Oh, no.
100%.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. So we just kind of, we had a conversation about, you know, what would it look like for us to actually go after this thing? And not having a background in tech in any way, you know, we just had to find a place to start. I didn't know where to start. And so where did I end up? I ended up on YouTube. There's so much unlimited resources these days. You almost don't have an excuse not to pursue a big idea, because there are so many tutorials and other resources that can teach you almost anything, at least from a starting point. And so I actually was able to sign up for YouTube University and went and taught myself how to build an app on what's called a no-code platform. There are different levels of software as a service development. So a SaaS product like an app, you know, you can build it on something that's called no code, where it's kind of drag and drop and then customizable. A lot of people use those types of templates for their websites these days, Squarespace and WordPress. That's what a lot of people are familiar with. But then you can get into a low code space where there's a little bit of customization. And then obviously, you know, the big bucks, where you get into full on proprietary development. And so anyway, we used a no code application to build our first beta of this product. And again, I was doing this on the weekends. I was doing this in the evenings. I was getting up early before I went to work, and I was finding spare time to do this on the side of my full time, which was putting food on the table. I had to find a way to fit this into our lifestyle and be able to pursue something that really was a pipe dream at the time, but we really felt like there was just something special about this idea.
Right. Okay, so before we jump into the actual behind the scenes of your new app, any tips or any suggestions for people listening who are thinking about starting a side hustle and they're just not really sure where to start? Any inspiration you can give to them to get that idea off the ground?
Absolutely. Well, and I will say this, I think for many people, I think people have great ideas almost every day, all the time. You know, somebody, and you hear it all the time, you know, especially the simple ones. You know, right. Something that's so simple, how often do we start invalidating that idea by saying, oh, somebody's already doing this. Yeah. It's too easy. Somebody's already thought of this. Well, you never know. See a need, fill a need. Sometimes those simple ideas actually make the greatest impact and they have the most opportunity. And you'd be surprised how many of them actually still don't have a solution, you know? And so the idea of being able to transition your mindset from invalidating yourself, invalidating your network, invalidating your skill set, invalidating your experience, stop stopping yourself from starting and start starting. There's so much resource available. There are so many ways. And I think what often is the most difficult thing for entrepreneurs or people that have these great ideas is just figuring out the first step. What does the first step look like? What does it look like to start?
Right. And I think that's probably where most people get stuck, is that little imposter syndrome thing pops up on your shoulder and says, hey, somebody's already thought of this. Who are you to start this? Who are you to create this?
That's
you don't have the skills. You don't have the talent. You don't have the ability. You've never built an app. You You've never built an app, Patrick. How can you build an app, right?
That's right. 100%.
There's resources out there you can tap into, and there's people to ask. There's people to look up to and model and learn. So I love that you did that.
Well, and honestly, I mean, this is full transparency. I think that whole imposter syndrome, it doesn't just go away. I think every day I have to wake up and convince myself and remind myself, you know what? You can qualify your experience. You can qualify your skill set. You can qualify your intention and your passion for this. And sometimes it's just a matter of being intentional enough and confident enough to, again, get started and choose. I think that's that's one of the differentiators between, I guess, winning and losing, is being willing to take the risk that, you know what, there's the potential that I could fail. There's the potential that I could miss some shots along the way, but I have to get started somewhere, and I have to be willing to fail. And you know, I think it was really interesting, because when we were entertaining this idea at the very beginning, I think it's apparent that when you pursue something that, like vision, you have an idea for a company. Choosing to pursue that idea means that you're also choosing what comes along with that as far as the responsibilities, because if that begins to grow, you're going to be responsible to nurture that, you know? And I think my wife and I came to a point where we really had to navigate, okay, well, what are the best and the worst case scenarios of this whole thing? If we start out on this journey, what's the worst case that could happen? And I think that we had to ask ourselves, you know, if we were to again, jump in a DeLorean, fast future, 10 years, you know, are we going to be disappointed in ourselves that we never tried?
Right.
We would rather try and fail than not try.
Nice. Okay. What have you learned about yourself having a side hustle? How has it improved you? Any lessons that you've taken back and you're like, I never knew I could do that?
Absolutely. You know, what's been really incredible about it is we obviously were excited about pursuing the idea of creating a company or a product that could become successful. What I didn't anticipate was the education that has come along with that experience. I mean, I have learned so much and so many skills through going through this process that's actually empowered me to help others do the same thing. It's empowered me to, now I know how to, you know, as an example, build an app. I know what it looks like to actually take a concept from concept to reality, and some of the steps in, you know, walking through due diligence and validating an idea to market, you know. And so I think there have been so many tools that I've gained that have given me additional resources to bring back into, whether it's my regular work environment, whether it's even other ideas. You know, there are other ideas that I've been working on at the same time where it's like, well, if I have a breakthrough in one of these companies, all of them experience that same breakthrough.
Right. Yeah. You bring those lessons forward with you and they become tools in your toolbox. I love that.
Yep.
Okay. So I have to ask, Patrick, have you hidden your toys? Because you don't want to see them on this app going, hey, wait, that's my stuff. That's my stuff. What are you doing selling my stuff?
Come on, guys. Yeah, they get too motivated. Next thing you know, my bike's on there, you know.
Hey. Yeah. That's amazing.
Wait a minute.
Tell me the status of the app. What's going on with this?
Yeah, absolutely. We are just a few weeks away from going live. So we have been in development stage. Okay. It's been really wild. To give another bit of our backstory, I had none of our family had any background in tech. So we had no idea where to start, literally no idea. And so what I ended up doing is I signed myself up for YouTube University. There's so much resource out there today.
Right.
There is basically no excuse not to start, not to find your way. There is so much resource available. And so I went to YouTube and I found a few tutorials and I taught myself how to build a beta version of an app on a no-code platform called Adalo. It took me a couple of months to learn the databases and how to customize everything. But we built something that we could share with friends and family. And what we ended up doing was we were invited to pitch that beta MVP on a show similar to Shark Tank. It's called What's on Your Napkin. It's a tech tank where a venture studio had this show and they said, hey, you may have a valid service or an established product or a company, or you might have something just chicken scratch on a napkin. We'd love for you to pitch us your idea. And if we like it enough, if there's enough opportunity on that idea, we'll take you through due diligence. We'll walk you through validation, and we may even offer you a co-foundership. And so out of about 5,000 companies who have applied to pitch, they have only co-founded, I think, 130. And we're one of those companies where they said, this idea is off the charts. There's such a need for this. And it's way bigger than just selling toys. There's so much greater impact opportunity available. And the two words that really come to mind for me are benevolence and education. And even in our education systems, the idea of teaching financial literacy, it's almost non-existent. So how do we empower our kids with a tool where they can actually learn these life skills? So we just went after it. We started with what we had in front of us, resources like YouTube, and we took step after step after step and just stuck with it.
Okay, so what is the launch date for this then?
So we're looking right now, as long as we don't hit any other detours in development, probably mid to late April, we could be live.
Wow. Okay, so for those that are with me right now and with us listening, they're like, link, please? Like, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to sign up and be a part of this. When is it available for people to access and be part of the community?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, even right now, we're on social media, we're on YouTube. We have a website that currently is operating as a wait list. And so if you go to our website, it's www.toytle.io, toytle.io. And right there, you can sign up for the wait list. We can let you know, you can be one of the first to know when we go live.
Explain the name for Toytle.
Yeah, absolutely. This was actually a really fun process. So again, our boys being a part of the process, we didn't just sit down and have that initial brainstorm. They have been able to be a part of the milestones all along the way. So when we sat down and said, hey, you know, what kind of features do we want to see? We could sit down with our boys and they were able to say, we think it'd be really fun for kids to be able to do this or be able to do that. When we went through the naming process, you know, initially, when we did our beta, we just kind of said what it was. We called it Toy Trader. But what we found out as we pursued the idea of trademarking and other things, it really helps if it's not so generic. And so they encouraged us to sit down and do an exercise as a family to come up with a bunch of creative ideas and fanciful names. And so we actually sat down and we probably as a family came up with maybe 12 or 15 different names. And so we were able to sit down with our boys. Toytle just happened to be one of those names out of that list. And we were able to sit down as a family and vote for the most exciting one. Same thing with our logo design. We were able to do a competition where we got a bunch of different logo ideas back. And our boys were right there in the process with us, being able to vote and say, hey, you know, this one's really cool, but we'd love to see this kind of change. They sent us new iterations. And then we finally had a few finalists and we sat down as a family, did a voting process, got to choose the logo together. It's just been really, really fun.
So do you work for the boys or do the boys work for you? I want to know that.
I'm working on working for them. That's awesome. My goal.
Good. Well, okay. So tell me, like, how do you keep your kids engaged in the whole process of creating the app? Like, it's exciting at the beginning, but sometimes kids' attention kind of, you know, a little bit. Are they still active? Are they still enjoying it? How do you keep that fire alive for them as they go through the process?
That's a really great question, you know, and it's not necessarily easy. I would say it's easier said than done, you know, especially at their age, with their attention span and all that stuff. Just like you said, what I've had to do is try as a dad to navigate both their personalities and their interests and their passions and find the right moments to pull them in and say, hey, this is a great moment for you to re-engage. Why don't we sit down? Did you guys know that we just got the wireframes back? So now we can see how everything's laid out. Would you guys like to sit down together and look this over and let's talk about how it looks and how it feels? You know, same thing, like I said, with the logo and the name and even the idea of going into, you know, creating the pitch deck and talking to investors or entrepreneurs and sharing our story. You know, we are invited to do a competition where we can pitch this idea. And I said to the boys, I said, you know, I don't want to force you guys to do something that's completely out of your comfort zone, but I want you to think about the reward that could be in it for you guys, to just think about how you'll be able to look back on this moment and say that you were able to step in and lean in and be brave. this is going to be an opportunity that could change our lives. And I'd love to have you guys be a part of that if you'd like to be. And so I think sometimes it's kind of, you know, baiting the hook and serving the platter and saying, you know, this one is for you guys to choose. Would you like to be a part of this and making room for the opportunity? There have been other moments as well where I've been able to pull them in and say, hey, guys, we really need to do this together because it's something that has to be done for us to move forward.
I can just imagine the reaction of your kids doing a video about TWDL and saying, hey, this is how I use it. This is yeah. the thing I came up with. Talking yep. to kids their age.
Absolutely.
Not talking to adults, talking mm-hmm. to the kids your age, saying, this is why yes. we created it. If you have any ideas, let me know. Yes. I'm the part creator of this app, you know, and it's like, yes. wait a minute, what is going on here? Like that's a kid. Yeah, that's a kid. That's great. I love that.
Yes. And there are all sorts of different events and opportunities where they're highlighting kid entrepreneurs. And, you know, I think, again, I want to pave a path of opportunities for them. You know, again, not necessarily, you know, requiring them to do these things, yeah. but showing them, you know, this is an opportunity that really could sharpen you. It could teach you a skill set. You have an opportunity to inspire others. And so making room for that to happen.
And as a dad, to know you're plowing a field, I guess you could say, which is going to yield results years from yeah. now for your kids, that legacy aspect, that's exciting as well.
Yes.
Right. I love that.
Absolutely. And being able to instill just a confidence and self-motivation. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, I heard that your kids are not just good at creating great ideas for an app, but they also like to do promo for their app. You were saying something about them going out to a public event or something, and they're out promoting the app. Can you tell me a little bit about that story too?
Well, we're trying to give them opportunity for that. You know, we're kind of, we're dipping our toes in the water. It's not their favorite thing to be in front of an audience.
Yeah.
And so we're still trying to kind of work that muscle and stretch that muscle. So right now so a couple of things we have done, we've sat down and we've done a video together that was talking about our excitement, making an introduction of the app itself. They've sat on a couple of calls and talked with our co-founders, Project 10K, and just kind of, you know, establishing relationship and being aware of what that looks like. So some of the events that we have potentially coming up in the future are going to be opportunities where, you know, and interestingly enough, the way that this all started, we sat down and did that brainstorm, but then we put together like this little pitch deck. And so we sat our family down. It was grandma and grandpa and their Aunt Abby, and then mom was in the room, and they, you know, we kind of wrote out this script, and each of the boys had a couple little lines that they presented about this idea and got to pitch the family. And that's where everybody was like, yes, this is amazing. This sounds like a great idea. It was really fun.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Okay. So I think that's one of the big lessons that you touched on at the beginning too, was teaching our kids about finances, how to be good stewards with our money. All of that is missing from our education system. And I love the idea that you're creating that, those lessons early for your family. How else is this app going to help teach our kids about finances, about being good stewards? Do you have anything else kind of in the background in your mind that this app is going to do beyond selling a toy?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's, and kids' number one language is fun. And the number one way that they learn is by doing.
Right.
And so I think the only way that we can really empower them to engage in these skills, you know, a textbook with black and white pages isn't something that they're going to do on a Saturday, you know? And right. So it's like, how do we get them engaged? Well, if we can gamify the experience, if we can create an energetic, you know, community, where, and this is what I think as well, you know, if their best friend has his Pokemon cards listed and another one is listing their Nerf guns, another one's listing their bike or their video games, guaranteed they're going to jump in. Kid to kid energy, I mean, it's right. explosive. You know what I mean? And so being able to kind of synergize on that and look to the future of saying, you know, how do we empower kids to stay engaged? Well, one, I think this is a revolving door. Toys continuously come and go, so they're going to be able to practice these skills on a residual basis, you know, and it's not just the buy sell aspect, they're going to be able to practice communication.
Right.
They're going to be able to practice goal setting and achieving those goals. And then once they sell that toy and maybe they earn some profit, well, what does it look like to take that profit and now partition it to different things like sharing or spending or savings, you know, and being able to learn that along with their parents, along with their friends. I just think there's so much opportunity.
I don't know if you've thought about this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Are there ground rules about how soon a toy can be listed? My point is Christmas morning or birthdays and all the wrapping papers being put away, I can just imagine them on their phones, like listing these new toys they just got. They're still in the box. And you're like, I'm going to post this on my app. You know, and grandma and grandpa, they're like, hey, come on, we just, what? Yeah. Is there any rules about that?
Listing their new socks on Toyota, right?
Is it okay? Like, you have any guidelines for them?
Hey, you know what? If they're motivated and the parents okay it, I say go for it.
There you go. I can flip that and I can make it. You can just see them like, I am.
Yeah, exactly right.
So I love that. That's great. Okay, that's amazing. We're definitely going to have links to all this great information for everyone. For our listeners, we have a global audience. Can you tell us where the app is going to be live right at the beginning?
Absolutely. So we're going to launch in the U.S. Yeah. The reason we chose to keep it a little bit more focused in the beginning is so that we can really focus on building a dense user base, testing and refining the app. And then, of course, this is the type of product that I think can have a global footprint. And so our intention is completely 100% to launch into the global marketplace, whether that's the U.K. or New Zealand. You know, Canada, you name it. This is something that we could see really making a huge impact in families all around the world. It's a tool that's, I think, relevant for families all around the world. We all have the same problems, our basements and our attics and our garages and our storage closets and, you name it. Our landfills even are full of clutter, just a bunch of toys laying around. You know, we all have these toys. Well, let's take advantage of the opportunity and let's empower our kids to do something about it.
It's very smart. And I love the lessons you're teaching your kids in an indirect way and a direct way. You're empowering them to be good fathers and leaders and adults in their future as well by just following your example. So we talk about legacy and how important that is. You yourself as a dad are doing that with your kids, which is
absolutely
a lesson that, again, you're not going to learn that in school. So
absolutely. And one last thing I'll say to anyone listening who's interested in jumping in and testing this product with us, you know, a marketplace is a blank slate unless there's supply and demand. And so, you know, if you log in and you're the only one in your city that's on Toyota, there's not going to be anything visible for you. So what we're encouraging families to do is find a group of families and friends that you can have all of them jump in, you know, and test this app with you and build a Toyota community in your local area. And that's where we're starting. So we're not going to have shipping and other commerce available in our first iteration of the app. We do see that in our future. But as a starting point, similar to Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace, they all started in this local focus. We're doing local buy sell trades. So you'll be able to communicate with people within a certain radius that you can define. If it's 200 miles or you want to search within 5 miles of your zip code or whatever it is, your address. And then you are able to communicate with those families, whether it's scheduling, coordinating meetups, you name it. Local buy sell trade is the way that we're going to start.
Smart. I love it. And you can grow as time goes along and listen to feedback. People have feedback for you on the app. You're open to that as well, right?
Absolutely. And just to reinforce how we are creating a safe experience for kids, we decided to go all out on the safety measures from the standpoint of how do we protect our kids from stranger danger, irrelevant or targeted content. We are going to launch with zero ads, zero sponsorships until we can create an ecosystem that we can link with relevant, safe products for kids. Secondly, every incoming and every outgoing message is parent approved. So the guardian creates their account first.
Nice.
The kid's account lives under the guardian. We store none of the kid's data on our platform unless it's under the guardian's profile. And every incoming message goes to the guardian so they can see, you know, if my son lists his bike and he receives an inquiry about that bike from a stranger, that message comes to me first, and I can ensure that the content is safe, and then I can approve for my son to receive that message. He can then respond, and I can again check his content. It comes to me first, make sure he hasn't included any personal information or anything in his message, and I can approve for that to go out. The very same functionality with creating listings. Again, we wanted to empower our kids to do the process, so they're able to take the pictures and write the description and, you know, price the object, but it's going to come to the guardian's account for an approval before that listing goes live. And so those are a couple of the ways that we've really targeted how to make it a safe experience for kids.
Great. I love all those safety measures. That was one thing I'm so happy you talked about, because that might be a hesitation for somebody, like, do I really want my son or daughter doing this? So very smart.
Absolutely. And we designed it from a parent's perspective. Those are the standards that we would have in place for our own experience as users, and we will be users on our own platform. That's, we basically created it for ourselves. And so from those standards, that's what we created it from.
Beautiful. Excellent. So I have links in the show notes, everyone. Please go and check it out. And if you have feedback, you know, for Patrick and his family, he's always open to that. As you can tell by just interacting with us today, it's a great family to work with and to be a part of, and watch their family grow with new additions, but also watch the family grow as they learn and place this app out into the world. It's great, Patrick.
Yes.
I'm very impressed with this. Thank the boys for their idea, because it's great. This all happened because of them. So it's awesome.
Absolutely. And we're literally just so honored, and we can see just the monumental opportunity for impact. And so we hope that this tool serves a lot of families really well and incentivizes parents to partner with their kids and get engaged.
Awesome. So we've talked about the app now, and we've talked about all of the great stuff about the app. How do we people find you guys as far as updates on the release of the app and how they can be part of the community? Where do we send everybody?
Absolutely. Well, again, our app is called Toidle, T-O-Y-T-L-E. It's kind of a play on words, turtle and Toidle. And we have a website right now that is currently positioned as a wait list. And so because we're a pre-launch, we're inviting families who are interested to jump onto our website and type in a little bit of your information that gives us the information that we need to keep you posted on our journey. And you can be the first to know when we go live. So that's it is www.toitle.io. And we would be happy to keep you in the loop and let you know when we go live.
All right. So everyone listening here on Living My Side Hustle, beyond the beginning stages of starting with an idea and all the great things we've heard about the app throughout our conversation, please go over and support Patrick and his family. It's a great idea. And I love the fact that you guys have identified a need and no one else was doing it. You're like, hey, then that means we're going to do it. And
that's right.
Just start. Just do it. Right.
Just do it.
I love it.
It's like, Nike.
Just do it. Right. Yeah. They're not a sponsor. I wish they were, but maybe Toidle will be a sponsor someday.
Yeah. There you go.
Famous. Remember us little podcasters when you're big, famous fancy pants. Okay.
There you go.
Awesome. That's so great, Patrick. Thank you. And all the best to you and your family. I know you just had a new addition. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
For you guys. And thank you for being part of Living My Side Hustle. Awesome.
Great time. My pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Hey parents, if you're anything like me, balancing screen time for our kids is a constant struggle. That's why I want to share a little secret with you. KidsPod, a revolutionary app where podcasts aren't just for adults anymore. KidsPod offers a treasure trove of kid-friendly podcasts, making it super easy and safe for your little ones to explore, learn, and be entertained without staring at a screen. And the best part? It's completely free to download. Empower their imagination and curiosity with content that's made just for them. Download the KidsPod app today, because podcasts are for kids too.